Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Coming up on the show this afternoon, we'll delve into this call around the coast for us to have our own designated Hoon area. See what you think about that. Also, the ARIA Awards were on last night. Who won? We'll cover off on that for you. Lucy Zalek joins us to pay tribute to perhaps the greatest footballer of all time, Maradona, who passed away in the early hours of this morning. Casey Barnes joins us to talk down to the top five songs in the country. And Dobbo's got a little bit of rugby league goss for us as well. You can hear that and a whole heap more if you listen to this. It's the catch up and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
There's a really sad story a little bit further north from us here on the Gold Coast that stems out of Caboolture about some kids that were doing burnouts around the place. And as I understand it, a tyre flew off this car that there was a burnout being done with, and the tyre hit a five-year-old kid who was in the vicinity. And this poor five-year-old is now apparently fighting for his life in hospital, really badly injured, as you would be. Tyre comes flying off a car, and he is, he's really dealing with it. Imagine his parents. Imagine how his parents are feeling at the moment, and obviously thoughts are with this young five-year-old. But the police have come out and just been doing a press conference with regards to this incident. Now, this is incredible. They're up in Caboolture. The policeman's out fronting the media. As he's doing the press conference, this was about half an hour ago or so, as he's doing the press conference, a hoon is in the background actually doing a burnout around the corner. He didn't know there was a press conference going on. He was just going about his day doing a burnout. But have a listen to this audio and how ironic it is that the policeman is fronting the media about this horrific incident and what's going on in the background.
The boy was unresponsive at scene, on the footpath, and a number of... Welcome to Caboolture.
That line is going to be infamous. Welcome to Caboolture. And I don't know that we could laugh too loudly here on the Gold Coast, because having just copped it over the, you know, whatever night it was, Tuesday night, losing my car, and what we're seeing around our streets as well, hooning is very prominent around town here on the Gold Coast, and so much so that in the paper today, there's calls to put a designated hooning area somewhere on the Gold Coast so that the kids that are into this sort of stuff have got somewhere to go, because the problem they have is they're going, look, we're going to hoon. We want to do burnouts and we want to go and do this, but we've got nowhere legally we're allowed to. So they're calling for a designated area where hooning would be allowed. And here's the question. Where would we have it? I mean, who's going to put their hand up and say, yeah, you can do it in our neighbourhood? No, it's going to be that, NIMBY, not in my backyard. Sounds like a good idea. We could all have them in one place, except it has to go somewhere and no one's going to want it near their joint. Imagine having that going on in your background. I mean, property prices would plummet, I would imagine. But what do you reckon, guys? Do you reckon it's a good idea? I'd love to get the pulse of the Gold Coast on this. Our number is 132710. Do we want a designated hooning area? And if we do want it, where would it go? I can see the merit on it, but I can see both sides of the equation here as well. Nobody's going to want it in their backyard. Poor bloke up there. Play that one more time. I got to hear that again. This poor...
The boy was unresponsive at scene, on the footpath, and a number of... Welcome to Caboolture.
Welcome to Caboolture. So our phones have gone into meltdown here. Who'd have thought? Marnie from Palm Beach has just called through on 132710. What do you think, Marnie?
Well, I think there should be a designated place for people to, hoon and do burnouts and all those kind of things. We've got Willowbank up at Ipswich, etc., for the professionals. But I remember years ago we had Operation Drag on the Gold Coast, which was run by the police at Carrara there, and everybody loved it. Everyone did a breath test on the way in. There was no alcohol. Everything, was well maintained and everyone had a ball. So, there are people out there that want it. So, yeah, put it in a space where everyone can do it safely and keep these the people at a idiots on the road, keep them, you know, in a safe environment. And I reckon that we'd get a heap of people that would want to do it.
Hey, good on you, Marnie. You mentioned Carrara there. Let's go to Carrara right now because Mark's just called through. What do you say, Mark?
Well, mate, it's illegal. So, you know, like, I don't want to be a stick in the mud, but, like, okay, you know, it's illegal to do burnouts and bad things can happen. I'd really love to rob a bank, so let's make a bank, just one bank on the case we're allowed to rob. Like, simple.
Fair point.
You know? Fair point. Yeah, all right, mate, good luck. See ya.
Good on you, Mark. Paula from Surfers Paradise. Go ahead, Paula.
Yeah, I think that someone needs to come up with some money and put a drifting pad in so they can go and pay $20 and go drifting on weekend instead of on the road.
All right, let's go to Peter from Robina. Go ahead, Pete. You're on the air, mate.
Hey, Luke, how you doing?
Good, Pete. Mate, good. Yeah, what did you want to say?
Yeah, look, you've got areas like Mount Cotton sitting there. Open it up for these guys, you know. I mean, I'm 64. I was the biggest turnout, but we didn't have high-powered cars. Now you've got high-powered cars and younger kids can afford them at a younger age, 17 and 18.
Mm.
Open Mount Cotton up to them. Let them get some experience in a controlled environment, get it all out of their system and do it on a regular basis.
Yeah. Hey, good on you, Pete. And I take on board what our previous caller said from Carrara with regards to the fact, look, it's illegal. We can't have a designated area for illegal activities. But I guess if you're going to have this going on in the community anyway, maybe it is a safe environment for it to happen and then there would be absolutely no excuse. Not that there is an excuse at the moment. It's illegal. It shouldn't be happening, but it is. And somehow we've got to stamp it out. So this poor kid up in Caboolture, we don't see more incidents like that.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
ARIA Awards were on last night. I found it horrendous. I thought it was awful TV. It felt really sterile with no crowd there. Guy Sebastian came up and no joke, he gave the most long-winded speech. I really like Guy Sebastian. I think he's a real talent, but they couldn't really give him the wind-up and it was just droning on this speech. I was like, this is going to be a long night, mate, if everyone makes a five-minute speech like Guy Sebastian was. And it was something like, wasn't even like one of the big awards. It was like best album cover or something. And he just was talking like he'd just found a vaccine for the coronavirus and had been awarded something for it. But let's go through some of the winners for you. First of all, best male artist went to Archie Roach with Tell Me Why.
Well, I tell the two lovers that was told to me. Make me want to scream and shout. Like Romeo and Juliet. A love story you won't forget.
I like this guy. God, he's good. I like when they award, you know, guys that aren't sort of mainstream like that. Like Archie Roach is a true talent. I've only discovered him in the last 2 years or so, Archie Roach.
Really?
Yeah, found him on Spotify, mate. He's awesome. I really dig his voice. You can see how soulful he is. This chick here, mate, I'd never heard of her before last night, but she dead set was, she was in every category. Best female artist went to this chick who is awesome, Sampa the Great. I don't really dig this song, but I started listening to her last night on Spotify as well. She's got some cool tunes, this chick. You can tell she's just so, like, she is cool. The best group went to Tame Impala with Slow Rush. Their acceptance speech was cringeworthy. They were in a bar somewhere. And it was like all three of them were just too cool to talk. It was uncomfortable to watch. Song of the Year went to 5 Seconds of Summer. This is it. It's called Teeth. Have a listen. Oh, yeah, I know this one. I'd bailed by that stage. Some days you're the I'd watched one too many uncomfortable acceptance speeches and Netflix started calling my name, so I bailed. But well done. I was disappointed for Casey Barnes. Gold Coaster Casey Barnes missed out on Best Country Music Album, but that's not going to stop him joining us a little later in the show as we count down the top five songs in the country for you, and Casey lets us know if they're good songs or if they're utter crap. But well done to everyone that won, including Amy Shark, Gold Coaster, who cleaned up a little bit. She got Best Live Performance, I know that.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Real sad to hear the news this morning that Maradona had passed away at 60 years of age. I actually spent this morning watching highlights of him playing in 1986. Just an incredible footballer. Lucy Zalek is the chief football caller for SBS. She's joining us right now. Lucy, is he the greatest we've ever seen?
He's the GOAT, Luke, and I know that there will be a lot of people listening that will want to vociferously dispute that and say that that crown or title falls to either the great Ronaldo, the current Ronaldo, or Phenomenon, or Messi. But, you know what, I had a really great conversation with Craig Foster, my beloved former colleague at SBS earlier today, in which we did a live stream discussing, you know, Maradona's legacy and everything that he'd left to the world through his love of football and his gift, which was just almost godlike, really, which is why he inherited that nickname. And he said, you know what, I think that Maradona is on that pedestal, but it's up to everybody else to knock him off that, right? And we're not disputing the fact that Messi and Ronaldo are incredible at what they've done and what they've achieved, but, you know, it's up to them to really knock him off that perch, because in my view, and I agree with Foz's, and so many will say the same, we truly believe that he is the greatest of all time. And I think that when you think about what he's done for football, the way he revolutionised it, the way he inspired a nation and inspired a country like Italy to fall in love with him, a foreigner who came to Naples in 1984, and, you know, there was so much rhetoric at that time that, you know, the most expensive player in the world when he'd signed for that record fee was going to one of the poorest clubs. What he managed to do for the Neapolitans was just incredible. But globally, who was more famous than Maradona? When it came to football, he was football. And football was him and still is him in many ways. So, you know, when you think about all those kids that wanted to be a number 10, I'll guarantee you now that so many of them of that generation were inspired by the great Diego.
The clip I referenced at the start here, Lucy, was him warming up to a song called Live and Life, and the whole crowd seemed to be into it. He was dancing. He didn't even have his shoelaces done up, and he was just going through some drills, and it was incredible. When I just looked at it, you could tell the thousands of hours that he must have put into honing his craft and how natural it came to him. What was his background? Because I wondered as I was watching him if he came from a poor background and rose to these incredible ranks, or was he always a football prodigy and destined for greatness?
He was always destined for greatness, but he came from the slums. This is one of the things that a lot of people don't know when they consider the narrative of Maradona. Sorry, there goes my daughter. She's clearly very upset by it all today as well. But when we consider what really happened and his rise to stardom, you have to factor in the equation that he did come from the slums, and that he was somebody that was a man of the people, who always advocated for the poor, who was always on the right side in terms of rallying against FIFA and their perceived corruptions at that time. You know, he was somebody that really came through extreme poverty and had to do it tough in a country that was experiencing great socioeconomic and political crises for many decades. So, you know, his history is one that's a fascinating one, because he always had this perseverance and this determination to succeed when it came to the game of football. But for so many of us that loved and observed his game, you know, there a lot will tell you that he was just a genius. He was a masterclass when it came to the ball. I mean, when he scored against England, you know, one of the more famous goals that we've seen him score, and the commentary as well is just extraordinary. It's breathtaking and it makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. But, you know, the way that they celebrated that goal and what Maradona specifically meant to the Argentinian people transcended a football pitch. So he was able to bring so much joy to these people because, as I said, he was a man of the people, always fighting for the poor and the ones that had been hard done by in life. So, you know, he was a godlike figure to them because of what he was able to achieve on and off the football and off the football pitch. But I know off the football pitch, a lot of people will say that he was a highly flawed character and mixed with some shady people, and was, you know, embroiled in a whole list of scandals, which included substance abuse, etc. But today, Luke, isn't the day to talk about that, I don't believe. Today is the day to really celebrate his achievements and everything that he brought to football and so many of its constituents.
Well said, Lucy. We'll leave it there. And I'm actually going to I want to play that goal that you referenced there, the goal of the century, it's called. He scored two goals against England in, I believe, a quarter final. You'd know it was a quarter final, was it, Lucy, in the
epic,
World Cup?
Yep, epic, yeah, against England.
So one of them is called, they're two incredibly famous goals. One's called the Hand of God because it turned out that he actually got a hand to it. And the other is called the Goal of the Century. And mm-hmm. It's best to listen to it with the Argentinian commentator. You might not be able to understand exactly what he's saying, but you'll get the gist of it. Lucy, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for joining me. And just to give you a snapshot of what he basically says, he calls him the cosmic kite and says that he's been touched by God. The commentator apologises because he has tears. He can't help them. He's saying, thank you, God, for everything. Maradona, you are not of this world. It's just incredible. And saluting him in that way, I feel like the commentator nailed it just as much as Maradona did. So thanks so much for having me on.
I got goosebumps even before we've played it. Lucy, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks. All the best, mate. Cheers.
There she goes, Lucy Zalek. And here is that goal of the century, the great Maradona.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now it's time for Top 5.
Casey Barnes, a great Gold Coast hope last night. In the Arias, he was up for Best Country Album. I can't believe you got beaten by someone called Fanny Lumsden.
Bit controversial, mate. Yes. Look, I was just saying off air, I've been a tough year in the industry, so to get nominated, I'm still very, very happy and proud of the album. So
absolutely.
Yes.
It was a great endorsement for what has been an epic album. There's been, you've had a great year. And there can only be but one winner. And I thought you were robbed, I'll be honest. I've never heard of Fanny Lumsden before, but she she got the gig, mate. And how were you, mate? Honestly, when they called out her name instead of yours, I can relate to it from a radio perspective. We have these things called what are they called? The ACRAs, Australian Radio Awards. I lost 10 of them, mate, before I won my first one. And I got beyond the whole, it's an honour to be nominated deal. I just wanted to win one of the frigging things. And I used to get really pissed off, I'll be honest, when I didn't win. How were you, mate? And tell the truth.
I was thrilled for Fanny because she was genuinely the underdog. So that was why I was stoked for her because it was expected she was going to win it. I think it was... Maybe the McClimates were the favourite, and I think the fact that an underdog won it was good. I was stoked for her because she's a really nice chick, but you know, I would have loved to have won. I mean, no doubt. When you work so hard, it would have been great. But look,
Would have you done an incredibly long and boring speech like Guy Sebastian had you have won? My God, that was a boring speech.
Yeah, no, they wrap you up pretty quickly. It's definitely would have been short and sharp, I reckon. And how about your car getting stolen?
Mate, they still haven't found it. They still haven't found it, Casey. They have not found my car. At this stage, I don't even want it back. How about this one, mate? So the cops came and saw me last night, and they had there was a news story on Channel 9 last night about the theft because they had all the CCTV vision of it, right? Anyway, some girl rang Channel 9 after it aired last night, and she said, hey, that car, That was used to ram raid my house last night. And at this stage, I don't even really want the car back because it sounds like it's going to be a hunk of junk when it gets back to my hands.
That's unbelievable. What a story. I just can't believe that's happened in blatant daylight.
Yep.
It's all on camera. How do they think they're going to get away with it? That's unreal.
Well, two of them already did. Two of them have already come out of the court system. And they have no convictions, and they had got a, according to what I heard, they got a stern talking to by the judge, and that was it. And
wow.
Yeah, no convictions or anything. So, expect it to happen again, I would imagine. But anyway, mate, not here to talk about my dramas. We're here to judge the top five songs in the country, and we do so with the help of Triple M's music guru, AV. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Let's climb into it. Number five, Miley Cyrus is back, featuring Dua Lipa. Prisoner. See if you can find the comparison of this song.
Physical. Yes. I wanna get.
Wow. Mate, okay, Casey's hit it on the head. As soon as I heard it, I went Physical from Olivia Newton-John. Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah, and there's another one that people are likening it to as well, is Gloria by Laura Branigan.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, that's Gloria. Now play this one again. Oh, yeah. Very similar. Is she in trouble for that, AP? Are people saying, like, is she facing a lawsuit or anything like that?
Nah, mate. It's all got the blessings, mate. What's old is new again.
All right. What else we got, mate?
Amy Shark won two arias last night. Everybody Rise, number four.
She got Performer of the Year or Live Performer of the Year last night. Casey, what do you say about this song?
Yeah, I love Amy. I'm going to give her a thumbs up. It's not my favourite Amy Shark song, but I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to give it a thumbs up. Although I will say this, I was surprised that she won a Live Performer of the Year. I've seen her a couple of times. Really love Amy Shark, great Gold Coaster, etc., etc. I think there's more riveting live acts out there. How do you like that for a bit of controversy from Bradnam on the radio this afternoon?
I agreed. Oust Chisel, that's crime.
I was surprised with that one. Go ahead, mate.
Yeah, Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber, number four, Monster.
Yep. Big thumbs up.
I have not heard this song before. But I can tell you right now, if I was in my car flicking through the radio stations and I stumbled across this one, I would change channels so quickly, I'd have flames come out. It's not me, mate. No, I like
hey,
what... Well, go ahead.
We usually are so on the same page, me and you, mate, but that's okay.
No, mate, okay. I like music that's got a set of Jats crackers to it, and that's a bit a bit punsy for my liking. What else we got, mate?
Yeah, good segue, Luke. I know a favourite of yours from last night's performances, Billie Eilish. She was at the Aries. Therefore I Am.
That's a no from me.
No, I'll give it a no too.
I do not get this chick at all. Do not understand her success. Go ahead. Number one song in the country, mate.
Tones and I, Fly Away.
What do you say, Casey?
Yeah, I'll give it a yes, but here's my barbecue tip, all right? I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I wonder if in 2 years' time we're still going to be talking about Tones and I as much as we are now. That's my 2 years from now, I just wonder.
You think we might burn out on her?
I think she might burn out. I think Amy Shark will still be around in 2 years. I don't know if Tones and I will be.
She's very derivative. Everything sounds almost identical, but I'll give it a thumbs up as well. I take your point, Casey. You're an award winner to us, mate, even if you're not to the rest of the Australian music industry. We love you, mate.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Anything coming up, mate? Any gigs around town that we need to know about?
Look, we're doing our last sort of local-ish show next Saturday up at Rainbow Beach with a bunch of country artists. But we're also doing the Mayor's Christmas Carols as well. It's a virtual event. It's next Saturday as well. So a little bit going on. But then I think I'll have a bit of a break after that.
You deserve it, mate. It's been an awesome 2020. In all honesty, mate, on behalf of everyone at Triple M, we're super proud of what you did getting that nomination. And it's a testament to how hard you've been working. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, boys. Thank you.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Just on my TAB Sports app here, checking out the rugby league odds. And get this, mate, you can already bet on round one next season. The 3rd of March 2021, the Titans taking on the New Zealand Warriors, an away game. So the draw is out for 2021. Dobbo's the best league insider in the business. He's on the phone joining us. A bit of league to cover off on. G'day, mate. How are you?
And I'm good, mate. How are you? And you're right. It was released this afternoon, and I've gone to the Ben Dobbin Sports Lab.
Go on.
For everybody listening. So I've looked at the three Queensland teams. Now, I don't want to bore everybody, but I believe the Gold Coast Titans will be the best placed team out of the three Queensland teams. I'm going to tell you why quickly. I'm going to dumb it down. The Cowboys are going to have 8 wins in 2021. They start round one against Penrith at Panthers Stadium on the 13th of March. I believe they're going to have 8 wins, 16 points. If I go through history, that will mean they'll end up 14th in the competition. So the Cowboys, they'll build nicely. Not a bad team. I think the fact that Jake Clifford and Michael Morgan are the halves, I know that they've got some light on centres in O'Neill and Esan Masters. I don't think they're going to get there. I'll stay with the Broncos. Wooden Spooners last year, I think they'll finish 8th, which would be 24 points, 12 wins. So that's a huge improvement considering they had 3 wins, 8th spot. Remember in 2019, they had 11 wins, 1 draw to creep into 8th. It'll come down to 4 and against. Their side, very, very wishy-washy at the moment. Their back line, if we were picking it today, Dearden Milford, coach Tessie New, Herbie Farmworth, Jesse Artlers, Jermaine Azarko, their back line. They're going to have a good forward pack, which leads me to the Gold Coast Titans. I believe the Titans, if you go on the draw, will finish in 5th position, which is huge for them. 28 points, 14 wins, and I've been really a really hard marker on them. They start round one against the Warriors. Round two will at Cbus. Brace yourself from that. Friday night, 7:05. What a grudge match that will be. For feeder up against the Broncos, that is round two. And their side, it looks good. 4-2-acre Rain, Jamin Jolliffe. For feeder Proctor, Tino Asul Mwali. Fogarty Taylor, Sammy Tyrone Peachy, Brian Kelly, The Don, and AJ Brimson. That's a really strong team. I think they'll be the best Queensland side. 5th place they'll be in 2021 on 28 points. I can't pick who's going to win it, but it won't be a Queensland team next year. But the Titans, big improvers. They just finished in 9th position. They'll be 5th at a minimum in 2021.
Like the way you're sounding, Dob, I really am. Now, a couple of other things to cover off. State of Origin moving in back to mid-year. Good move. What do you say?
No, I don't. Mm. I don't like
it. I'm with you, mate. I'm with you. We might be going against the grain. I really dug it at the end of the season, 3 weeks in a row.
I don't like the fact that it gives a disadvantage. Now, let's look at quickly the Gold Coast Titans. Mo Fortuaca, David Fifita, Tino Fasuamuali. You've got Philip Sammy, AJ Brimson, and potentially you just might have Jared Wallace. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 players out of your side. They've got to play with players coming out. So it absolutely punishes the teams that have the major representation with rep footballers. I think unless you give a 3-week, I think if you had it in a 3-week block where you put everybody on the sidelines, you had rep rounds one weekend, you give clubs a chance to rebuild and those players kept on going, that's the only way to do it. To continue, a lot of teams are going to have some big runs in the middle and then teams will fade because their players are dusty at the end of the year. I think it's too hard on them. I know I'm a bit like you, Luke. Everybody else says, no, they should have it. I don't agree.
Okay, final question for you, mate. Has Cam Munster been spotted since the State of Origin?
Yeah, he has. And would you believe this? So they get out today. This is the measure of Cam Munster. Cam Munster and all the Origin guys are free to roam. So look out, lock up your doors. But he is at a charity day at Tawantin on the Sunshine Coast, playing 2020 cricket for a team. He got in the car. Is there anything this bloke can't do? He's playing 2020 cricket for Tawantin today. That is dead set where Cam Munster is. If you want to go and catch him, he's drinking beer, fielding, playing 2020 cricket. Look out.
He would have been a great footballer in any era. I mean, he would have fitted in so well with Elfie. He would have fitted in with Wally in the 80s. This guy is a throwback, and he's my favourite footy player by a country mile. I love your work, Dobbo. We'll see you tonight on 9 News.
And they found your car.
No, they haven't found the bloody car, mate. They haven't found the car.
Give his car back. He's got some medals. Give the car back.
Good on you, mate.
I just want the medals.
Oh, yeah, give me my frigate. You can have the car. Give me all the crap that was inside of it. Hey, we'll see you tonight on 9 News. There he goes, the best league insider in the business, Ben Dobbin. We are racking off out of here. Thank you so much for your company today. Copy it tomorrow afternoon from 4 for your local drive home. See you then.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.